Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 11th of April, 2021. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Alex spoke on Thomas the Worshipper. The reading is John chapter 20, verses 24 to 31. We'll go and join Richard as he's introducing the service.
Good morning and welcome to our service here from Minehead Baptist Church this morning. It's lovely to join with you as we come to worship our God, and a warm welcome to you wherever you're listening, whether you're here in person, online, or listening by CD. A few notices as we begin. Just to say there is Cafe Church this evening at 6 o'clock here and online, so please do feel free to come along this evening for a 6 o'clock start. We have prayers from the Hub tomorrow morning from 9:30 leading into our live-streamed prayers at 10. So please do feel free to join us. And then Thursday worship is on, so if you're listening to this somewhere and you'd like to come in person, we will be here on Thursday from 10 o'clock for a repeat of this service. But let's pray now as we come this morning. Father, we come this morning to worship and adore you, to focus our eyes and our hearts on you, to thank you for who you are, for the love you have for us. Father, come and fill this place with your Spirit this morning, we pray. Amen. And now we're going to join with Steve as he leads us in crowning him with many crowns. Shall we pray? Father, we come this morning to worship you. And Father, we come to thank you for the great love you've shown us in sending your Son to us. And Father, we thank you that you forgive us time and time again when we turn our backs on you. And Father, we pray that as we go into this week, that we would know you more fully, more closely, would know your will for us, we pray. And Father, we want to lift up to you the Queen and the royal family in a time of sadness for them, and a time of sadness for people all over the world, with the sad death of Prince Philip as he's gone to be with you. Father, we pray that you would be with the royal family as they come to terms with what it means to lose a man who's been in their lives for so long. Father, be with them, be a comfort to them, we pray. And Father, we want to pray for those in our own congregation and in our community who are unwell. Father, we pray for those treating them, that the doctors and nurses would know the right decisions to make, would know what course of treatment to take. Father, we pray that your healing hand would be felt by those in need. And Lord, we pray for the world. We pray for the continued violence in Burma. Father, we pray for a peaceful resolution. We pray that your the hand of peace would descend on that place. Father, we pray for the violence that's erupted in Northern Ireland. We pray, Lord, that all the differences and the challenges that that country faces are known to you. And we pray, Lord, that religion would not be seen to be the driving factor. And Father, we pray for our government again as they continue to struggle and make decisions that affect all of us, as they continue to try and battle coronavirus. Father, might your hand be known there. Might they know your presence, and those who don't know you, act in a way that would glorify you. And Father, we pray for this church as we continue to come out of lockdown, to start heading back towards a semblance of normality. Father, we pray that we wouldn't just go back to what was, that we'd continue to go forward, continue to seek to serve you in every way we can. And Father, we pray for an outpouring of your Spirit here in Minehead. Might you fill us to overflowing. Might we be symbols and beacons of you to those we meet in all that we do. Come and fill us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And now Mark is going to come and speak to us.
Good morning, everybody. Are we okay? Good. Oh, it's not bad. It's not bad. Okay. You're going to lower it a bit. What are you trying to say about my height?
Eh? No comment.
No comment? Okay. All right. Okay, I've got something to show you. Okay, are you ready for this? Okay, this is something called a £20 note. Okay, has anyone ever seen a 20? I can't remember the last time I actually picked up money. Can you? Because it's all cards and things now. But this is a £20 note, just to show you. Okay, and I've got a £20 note. Okay, are you all watching at home? Yeah? Got it? I'm going to put, okay, some paper clips onto my £20 note. Okay, here we go. So there's just one there, people here. It's a little bit like a magic show, eh? I'm not touching anything, see, nothing up my sleeves. Okay, there. Okay, one paper clip. And now I'm going to put another paper clip just on there. Okay. Are you ready for this? Do you believe that when I pull this £20 note apart, okay, these paper clips are going to be joined together? There's absolute silence in the room, everybody. No one even nodded that way or that way. There was no response. Okay, so I'm going to take that, because this is the answer I want, right? That you're going to say, no, I don't believe it. Okay, is that what you were saying? All right, what about at home? Do you believe that when I pull this £20 note apart, all right, the paper clips are going to be joined together? No, you don't, but good. Right, I'm now going to move the lectern. Here we go. Are you ready for this? All right, a little bit of a drum roll would be good, okay? All right, here we go. Oh, my goodness. Can you feel the tension? More drum roll, more drum, and you at home, more drum roll. Let's build it up. What's going to happen? Hang on. Please watch me in the room, because people at home, the children may ask you one day, did he swap the paper clips? Okay, I'm going to bend down and I'm going to pick up one end of the paper clips. They have been disinfected. It's a COVID safe environment. Okay. Look at that, eh? Oh, good. My certificate for the magic circle is still valid. That's good. Okay. Do you believe it now? There's still not many nods here, everyone. All right? I'm at home, I can imagine how your mad you're going. You're going, wow, of course we believe it, Mark. All right? But I now need your help again, because I'm going to tell you a story from the Bible. Something from the Bible. And when I say the word believe, okay, I want you to do... Okay, can you do that? Now, people here, there's no one under the age of... Hang on, I'll be polite. There's no one under the age of 21 here at the moment, okay? I don't think there's anyone under the age of 40. Yeah, there's not one. Only Richard and me, okay? All right, okay. All right, but okay, so when you're there, okay, every time I say the word believe, I want you to go... Can you do that? Okay, they're doing it here. What about at home? All right, after three. One, two, three. Brilliant. Absolutely amazing. Okay. On the evening of the first Sunday after Jesus had been crucified, his disciples were together in a locked room, and they were really, really scared and afraid of the people who had crucified Jesus. Suddenly, Jesus appeared there in the locked room with them. It was hard to believe. Well done, everyone. It's so good. All right? But they saw him. And Jesus showed them his wounds in his hands and in his side. And they knew that it was Jesus. But one of the disciples, anyone know his name? Thomas. Well done at home. Well done, Betty, here. All right? Thomas. Okay, Thomas wasn't there when Jesus appeared to them. And when they told Thomas, he didn't believe. Okay, he'd seen Jesus crucified and he'd seen him buried. How could Jesus be alive? Unless I see his wounds in his side and I put my finger into the holes where the nails were in his hands, I will not believe. Well done. You're good at this, aren't you? But a week later, the disciples were in a locked room again. And this time, Thomas was with them. And again, Jesus came and stood among the disciples. And Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting, Thomas, and believe." Thomas fell on his knees and answered Jesus, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet still believe." Okay, keep the enthusiasm, okay? Keep the enthusiasm going, all right? Thomas saw and believed. Keep going. That was a tricky one for those at home, all right? I tricked these people here, but I think you got it back there. Well done. You and I have never seen Jesus with our own eyes. The question is, will we be one of those people who is blessed because we believe, right, even though we've not seen him? I think we will be. Right? Blessed are those who believe and have not seen. We're going to go off to Zoom in a minute for Sunday school. Okay, let's just pray for the people who are here in church, for the people who are online, and for the people who are going to be with us on Zoom in Sunday school. Lord, we thank you that you sent Jesus to be with us. We thank you, Lord, right, that he died and he rose again for us. And we thank you, Lord, that we believe. No one smiled. It means everyone's got their eyes closed. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us. And we pray for the people in church. We pray for Alec as he brings his message here. We pray for the people at home as they listen. And we pray for all of us who will be on Zoom. Be with us, Lord. Be with us today and the rest of this week as we believe in you, knowing that you are part of our lives. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Now, I've got to introduce the next song. But apparently the song that's on my sheet is not the song that you're going to be singing. Oh, this one's right now. Oh, my goodness, it's all come together. So the people who are at home, if you're getting the CDs and you've got the sheet, the words are going to be different on your sheet. We do apologise for that. It was a technical issue that we couldn't, nothing to do, we couldn't do anything about it. So the song that we're going to sing now is Mighty is Our God. If you're at home and you've got the wrong words, just sit back, listen, let the words soak into your heart. And we'll see you all soon on Zoom. Have a really good day, everybody.
Our reading for this morning comes from John's Gospel. It is that amazing description of Jesus appearing to the disciples and to Thomas. And it begins in John chapter 20. At verse 19. That's John chapter 20 from verse 19. Jesus appears to the disciples behind locked doors. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. Peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his sides. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them. "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Thanks be to God for the reading from his word. Friends, let's pray for Alec as he comes to bring God's word this morning. Father, we thank you that you have called Alec to minister among us, to bring to us this morning, Lord, all that you would have us hear. So unblock our ears, we pray, that we may hear your word. And give to Alec that which you have prepared with him that is right for us to hear, as well as new revelation that you wish to put on his heart for us. Open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts, that we may respond to you. So bless this man of God in the name of the one who came
and said, believe in me, in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Paul. First time I've been in church on a Sunday morning for well over a year. I don't want you to think I'm just turning up because I'm preaching. I've been coming every Thursday morning when we have the same. I shall be preaching the same sermon. What have I got to do? Tell me, is that right? All right. I shall be preaching the same sermon on Thursday morning. And Susan, my wife, said, I'll come Thursday morning, you can practice on them, and then I'll get it when it's improved. So, so you're getting the beginning. Not only is this the longest I've ever been without going to church on a Sunday morning, I don't think I've been over a year without preaching a Sunday morning service since I was 19. But obviously circumstances have been very different over these last months. This is sounding a bit strange. Anyway, we're looking at Thomas this morning. When I say Thomas, be honest, how many of you automatically think doubting? Well, there's a lot of hands going up, and I think people at home will automatically. I think that is so, so unfair. It's typical. It's typical of what we do. If you know people who have done a particularly bad thing, a particularly awful thing, they've said something, how easy it is to remember that rather than remembering all the positive things about that same person. It's so easy just to, I remember what they said, or I remember what they did, or I remember how they let me down, and concentrate on that rather than on all the positive. And this morning I want to think, first of all, why it's so unfair that we call Thomas the doubter. Because Thomas wasn't much worse than all the others. The only possible exception is John. We're told that when Peter and John went to the tomb, John says he looked and believed. We're not quite sure how full that belief was. But you see, on that first Sunday, Easter Sunday, Thomas wasn't around. Thomas didn't hear the women say, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas wasn't there when Jesus turned up in the upper room. But let me tell you from Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 16, verse 14, what did Jesus say to those other disciples? He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He rebuked them for their stubborn refusal to believe. The women had said, "We've seen him, he's alive." They wouldn't believe, and when Jesus appeared to them, he showed them his hands and his side. So was there much difference between that and when Thomas has the disciples telling him, "We have seen the Lord," and he says, "I won't believe," and then when Jesus does turn up, "Here's my hands, here's my side." I also wonder, you know, the two that walked on the way road to Emmaus and they didn't recognize him. It says they recognized him in the breaking of bread. Where do you think they were looking when he broke the bread? My guess is they were looking at his hands. I wonder if it was seeing the print of the nails in his hands that caused them to realize this is the Lord. So I think it's a bit unfair to call doubting Thomas when the others doubted. Maybe he was a bit more stubborn, but in his unbelief. And anyway, why do we concentrate? How many of you think of Peter? Peter the denier. We don't think of Peter the denier, do we? And yet we think of Thomas the doubter. I don't think it's fair. The other thing I'd like to say is if I point my finger at Thomas and say, "Thomas, you're the doubter," hang on a minute, there's some fingers pointing back at me. I became a Christian when I was 14. I'm now 77. Can I honestly say there's never been any time between my conversion and now that I've had doubts? There have been times when I have thought about the wonder and the glory of creation. And is there really a great God who's made all this? There have been times when I've thought about the virgin birth, turning water into wine, walking on water, raising the someone from the dead who's been dead 4 days, the resurrection. Is it really all true? I've had times of doubt. I have to say, not for many, many years have I had such times of doubt. But I know, looking back, I have had those times when I've sort of asked myself, is it really true? So if we're going to start saying Thomas the Doubter, hang on a minute. So for the rest of your time that you know me, you can call me Alec the Doubter. Because once upon a time, way back, I had some doubts. And I wonder how many of you, sitting here this morning or listening at home, could I call you from now on the Doubter? Because just maybe for once, for a short time, you doubted. Not fair. Anyway, let's think about Thomas. Think about some more things about Thomas, the positive things. We needn't look it up, but in Mark chapter 3, we find that Jesus spends time in prayer, and then he calls his 12 by name, and he calls them to himself. And he calls Thomas by name. He calls him. He wants Thomas to be with him, that wherever he goes, Thomas will go, that Thomas will hear, that Thomas will learn, and that Thomas will then go on to serve him. We, instead of saying doubting Thomas, we could say called Thomas. Thomas was called by Jesus to be his disciple, to be his follower. And I want to say this morning, I pray that you, like myself, would say, so have I been. I haven't been called to be an apostle, but I've been called to be a follower. I've been called to be a disciple of Jesus. When you became a Christian, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, he called you by name. He says, I want you to be my child. I want you to be my disciple. I want you to be mine. And so I want to be like Thomas. I'll admit to being like Thomas. I have doubted. But I want to just revel in the fact I am like Thomas. I was only 14 when the Lord spoke into my life and brought me to himself and made me one of his own, as he did with Thomas. But there's another aspect of Thomas which I think often we miss. In John chapter 11, verses 7 and 8, this is to do with the death of Lazarus. Jesus said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you're going back there. They think, look, if you go back to Judea, you are in danger of being killed. They want to kill you. Are you going back there? And they didn't say, are we going back there? The disciples are frightened to go with Jesus to Judea. And they had every reason to be frightened. As it happens, when it came to the crunch, they ran away, they went into the locker room, God kept them safe. But there was tremendous danger in going to Judea, and they didn't want to go. They didn't want Jesus to go, and they didn't want to go. But go down to verse 16 in the same chapter. Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. At that time, one disciple stood out as being braver than all the rest, and his name was Thomas. So do we think, oh, Thomas, doubting Thomas? Perhaps we should think, Thomas, of all the disciples, Thomas the Brave. And again, that's a challenge to us, to be like Thomas, to be brave. We don't have to be very brave in this country, but sometimes we have to be brave enough to admit that we know the Lord and we love the Lord. We have sometimes to be brave enough to speak up for the things that we know to be true, to speak up for the truth and to speak up for the faith. But you know, there are millions of people in the world today who are having to be like Thomas, brave, willing to be imprisoned, willing to lose their lives. There are thousands of people being imprisoned. There are thousands of people being martyred because of their faith. To be called to be a follower of Jesus Christ is to be called to be brave. And I tell you, Thomas sticks out above the others at this time as being the brave one. He's the one who says, even if we end up dying with him, let's go. And there are thousands of people today who are having to say, even if we lose our lives, even if we end up in prison, let's remain faithful and stick with our Christian faith. If push comes to shove in this country, are we going to cope? Will we be able to stand up for that? I don't want to go to prison for being a Christian. I don't want to lose my life for being a Christian. I don't want to be persecuted in any way for being a Christian. But would I be willing? If push came to shove, how would I cope? Thomas said, let's go into that area of danger because of our devotion to Jesus. Let's be willing and let's keep praying for those who are literally suffering for their faith, those who literally have to say, no matter how dangerous it is, I am going to keep the faith and keep my confidence in the Lord. Then, of course, the main thing I want to talk about this is this occasion when Jesus does appear to Thomas. And he says to Thomas, yeah, come on, put your hands. And Thomas didn't need to do that. As soon as he saw Jesus, he knew who Jesus was. Can you imagine how Thomas felt? Can you imagine the sort of distress in his heart and his soul as he thinks, and I didn't believe it, and here he is. But it is the reaction. It is the reaction that comes from him, I think, are the most wonderful words. Thomas looks up to Jesus and he says, my Lord and my God. They are absolutely wonderful words. You see, there's a great deal of meaning when you say, my Lord. I've written down here, I don't use many notes, but I've written down here a little sort of reference back to a song that we've sung many times. At least I've sung it hundreds of times. He is Lord, He is Lord. He is risen from the dead and He is Lord. You all know that one? Yeah, we all know that one. He is Lord, risen from the dead. I put that down in my notes. I contacted Roy and Jenny to ask them at the end of, for the end of our service this morning, to record the song Majesty, Worship His Majesty. I got my message ready, and then Roy rang me up and said, we have put in with the song you asked, He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead and He is Lord. I didn't ask him to put that in. They didn't know I'd got it in my notes, but they put that in. And you know, when we sing, He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, He is Lord, we are singing truth. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, as Thomas could see. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead. And of course, a day is coming when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But often when we sing that song, and I don't know whether Roy and Jenny have got that on or not, but often when we sing that song, we go on and we sing it again, and we just change a word. He's my Lord. He's my Lord. He's risen from the dead and he's my Lord. And my knee will bow and my tongue confess. It does confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You see, there's a whole load of difference between saying he is Lord and saying he's my Lord. One is a statement of fact. The other one is a statement of commitment. You are my Lord. And what does it mean to have a Lord? We haven't got the kind of society now where it means the same as it used to. I don't know any lords at all. Don't know one. In fact, I don't think there's any lords I would recognise, with the possible exception of Ian Botham. And it's not because of his cricket, but because of all his charity work, he's been made a lord. If he was walking down the street, I would think, there goes Ian Botham. And I might even think, there goes Lord Botham, which he now. I don't know any lords. But you see, if you go back in our history, if you could honestly say to somebody, my lord, you were probably what's called a liege man. You were committed to that lord. If you grew crops, you either paid so much a year or you gave a percentage of what you had to your lord. If you go back to some of the civil wars in this country, the wars between the Lancastrians and the Yorkists, go back to the Civil War, the armies were made up of lords who brought their men with them. If you were working in the fields that belonged to a lord, and there was a battle to be fought, the lord would say, come, and you had to go. You may have only had a pike staff or something with you, but you had to go. You were in the army of that person because he was your lord. All of the work that you did, a lot of it was to the advantage of the lord because he was your lord. Now, we haven't got that kind of society now, and I think it's probably just as well that we haven't. But that's the kind of picture I want to get into you. If he is your lord, then you're living for him. If he is your lord, you're seeking to obey him. And that's what Thomas is now saying. He's now saying, my lord, I want to serve. My life is yours now. My life is for you now. My life is committed to you. And so, doubting Thomas, well, he did. Come on, committed Thomas. You are my lord. I will serve you. I will give my life for you. We don't know all of the future, everything that happened to the various disciples. There are histories written, and we don't know how accurate they are. But it's believed that Thomas travelled taking the gospel and establishing churches. It's believed that Thomas ended up preaching the gospel and founding churches in India. And you could still, to this day, I believe, go to a place called St. Thomas's Mount, where Thomas was believed to have been martyred for his faith. We believe that all of the disciples, with the exception of John, were martyred for their faith. And when Thomas says, my Lord, it relates right back to the time when Thomas said, let us go with him. He was absolutely committed to the service of his Lord, even to the point of death. And when you think about that, isn't it a bit petty of us to think of him as doubting Thomas, when the reality is he was committed Thomas, committed even to the point of death? Of course, the other words that came from Thomas was, Thomas says, my Lord and my God. I don't think you can find before this any clear indication that anyone really recognised that Jesus was God. When Jesus asked the disciples who I am, Peter says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. There are people today, there are some sects today, who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The number one Son, the most important Son, the supreme Son. But they don't believe he is God. Now, I'm not saying the others didn't believe he was God, but Thomas clearly says Jesus is divine. I believe, Jesus, that you are God. He would have known the Ten Commandments. He would have known you shall have no other gods beside me. So when he is calling Jesus God, he's now recognizing the second part of the Trinity. It wasn't going to be many days later before he'd experience in a very real way the third part of the Trinity. But he is acknowledging, Jesus, you are God, just as the God in heaven that we've been worshipping and the God that we've thought about in the tabernacle and the temple is God. You're God. This is a tremendous statement of faith, and I would suggest to you it's a tremendous statement of worship. Thomas says, you're my Lord. You are my God. My God. Thomas is saying, you're not just Son of God. You're God the Son. You're not just Son of God. You're God the Son. And this morning we come as a people, and I hope you know and I hope you believe, Jesus is God the Son. God himself come to earth, living among us, dying for us, resurrected to be, excuse me, our living Saviour, my Lord and my God. And a God. A God is the only one who should be worshipped. No one else is worthy of worship. Other people can be praised. People can be adored. People can be appreciated. But worship should only go in one direction. That's to God. A bit sad to hear this week of, with the death of Prince Philip, that a few people in a particular tribe in one of the remote islands, they've lost the one that they worshipped. They actually worshipped Prince Philip. How sad. There might have been a lot about him to admire, but there's only one to be worshipped. But Philip, I believe in these very simple words, my Lord and my God, was expressing the most profound worship. You're my Lord. You're my God. And so for the rest of his life, he lived out the reality of my Lord. And he served and he obeyed. And for the rest of his life, he lived out the reality of worshipping the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So let me take you back. How do all these words fit with you? Doubter. Okay. You? Ever? Ever? Nobody's nodding, no one's shaking their head, but I'm sure ever doubted? Okay. Called. Can you remember when you became a Christian? As I say, for me, it's a long, long while ago. And it's a little bit vague in my memory, but I know it's real. We were called, we became his. One I haven't mentioned, but looking back to last weekend and thinking of the death and resurrection of Jesus, can you look to him and say, my Saviour? Have you put your faith and trust in that death and resurrection for you, paying the price for you? My Saviour. Would you like to join Thomas, and have you joined Thomas, in looking to Jesus and looking to the Lord and saying, my Lord? It's easy to think, oh, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll do what you want me to do. But is he really our Lord? And this morning, is there just one name that we worship? One name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. And we come before him this morning. We come before our Father, the Holy Spirit. We come before our Lord. We say, Lord, we worship you. I believe Thomas, in those four words, was just making such a commitment and was expressing such worship that I don't think we should keep thinking of Thomas as Thomas the doubter. Thomas the brave, yes. Thomas the committed, yes. Thomas the worshipper, yes. Thomas the doubter was just one little few day period in his life. I don't want to be remembered for the few worst days in my life. Why should Thomas be? And when you think of Thomas, wouldn't it be good to be like him? To be able to be committed and worshipping and totally his. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that when your word is written, you do include the weaknesses and you do include the things that people got wrong. And in some ways, Lord, that comforts us because we know that we sometimes get things wrong. Many of us maybe at times have doubted. Many of us at times have drawn back because of fear. And we thank you, Lord, that you put in these things so that we can realise that they are not the end. But we thank you, Lord, for the tremendous example of so many in Scripture. And we thank you for the example of Thomas. Thomas the brave. Thomas the committed. Thomas the worshipper. Help us to be brave, committed worshippers and servants of yours, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. And so we have the song Majesty, and I'm not quite sure how many times the other bit comes in with it. I think you'd only get the words of Majesty coming up, but we shall also be, He is Lord. And I hope you can go home this morning saying, yes, He's my Lord. Amen.
Brings us, let me reassemble the microphone, there we go. That brings us to an end of our service this morning. Thank you for joining us, however you have done so. Don't forget to join us this evening for Cafe Church at 6 o'clock and prayers from the hub from 9:30 tomorrow. It'll be lovely to see you there. So then the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Have a good week, everyone.
To leave a comment, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening and I'll speak to you soon.